The mark of a good hymn is one that you want to sing again and again and again. Do you ever get tired of singing when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there? I think we could sing that every Sunday, couldn't we? What about grace greater than all our sin? Oh my goodness, what a hymn. So we thank God for blessing us with people who can put Bible truth into the form of a song, and that we can sing that repeatedly over and over and over again. Thank God for good hymns that help us worship Him. I wish sermons were like that. You know, we sing hymns over and over again, but if I were to preach a sermon over again, you would think, I don't know if we need to do that or not. But yet we can have him. So let's go to the Word of God this morning, Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to be preaching again about the supremacy of God. But in particular, God just specifies three things in this text that He is supreme over. No question about it whatsoever. No need for us to debate it. God is over. God is Lord. He is a sovereign over these three things in the text. See if you can pick these three things out as we read verses 1 through 8 of Isaiah 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Well, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Well, on the heels of a great victory that we read about in chapter 37, where God sent one angel into the camp of the large Assyrian army that had besieged Jerusalem, they had cut off the food supply, they had cut off the water supply, so they were going to starve Jerusalem until they took a knee to King Sennacherib. Hezekiah went to the Lord through Isaiah and said, Lord, help us, save us, rescue this city, not for our sake, but for your name's sake. The Lord heard that request and sent one angel into the camp at night, and one angel killed 185,000 soldiers. Not just ordinary men, but warriors. One angel slew them in one night. Hell grew by 185,000 souls in one night. So on the heels of that great victory, things are well now again in Jerusalem. King Sennacherib has hoofed it out of the city. He has left that territory for now. It'll come back in a different form in about 100 years later. But Hezekiah and them are enjoying the benefits of God's blessings. They are full of praise and honor and glory unto the Lord. They're still talking about how God delivered them miraculously. And no one will ever forget that story, they're thinking. until something happens to Hezekiah personally. He gets sick. And this wasn't a usual sickness. This was a pretty intense sickness that led Hezekiah to believe that he was going to die. We don't know exactly what the sickness was, but we do know when we read the end of this chapter in verse 21 of chapter 38, that Hezekiah had boils on him because Isaiah had said for them to take a lump of figs in verse 21 and lay that as a plaster upon the boils, and he then shall recover. So we know that Hezekiah is in a bad way. And when sickness comes like this, and when you really think, this is it, this is my time to die, it makes life take a strange turn. Now all of a sudden, you don't care about victories, 185,000 slain. You don't care about what food you have or what food you don't have. You don't care about your job anymore and the struggles that you have at your job. Now your focus is primarily upon one thing, and that is dying. Now nobody likes to think about death, do you? Especially your own. Have you ever contemplated death? Have you ever wondered when you will die and how you will die? It's not an easy thing to do, isn't it? No, it's not. But the truth of the matter is, every single person in here is going to die. Without exception, unless we're around when the Lord comes back. We'll die a different way then. We'll be transferred immediately, but every single person in here is going to die. Some of us will die when we're young and healthy. Some of us will die when we're old and feeble. But death certainly is coming. So this is where Hezekiah finds himself. He's got a sickness. It's manifesting itself through these boils on his body. And he realizes that his time is near. Especially he realizes this when he gets a word directly from the Lord in verse 1 through Isaiah. And Isaiah says to him, "Thus saith the Lord, sit thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." So the supremacy of God covers many things, as we've already seen in chapters 36 and 37. It includes raising up a godless nation to be God's instrument of righteousness against the northern tribe of Israel. God was Lord over that. He was supreme over that. God is supreme even over wicked nations who want to attack God's people. And God says, no, you can't have them. God can stop it with miraculous ways. So the Lord is over the intents and the thoughts even of wicked men. But today we see that the Lord is supreme over exactly three things that we see here in this text. The first is that the Lord is supreme over sickness. The second is that Lord is supreme over life and death. And third, the Lord is supreme even over the sun in its natural standing, or we might call it time. Yes, time. Let's look at those things a little closer this morning. So the first thing that we see that God is supreme over is life and health and sickness and in death. Now, just as God ordained the day that Hezekiah was born, and you do believe that, don't you? No one is born by accident. No one is born according to fate or destiny. But everyone is born according to God's timing. We are brought into the world by God, and we are taken out by God. Now, did you get any say-so as to when you would be born? What year you were born in, what month you were born in, what century you were born in, what era you were born in? Well, no, you didn't. Now, birth has become a little more predictable nowadays in that the doctor can watch over the mom, and if she's having some complications, they can schedule a time where the mom can come in and she can be induced. But still, you didn't know about that 8 months ago or 9 months ago, but this is something that has happened under God's sovereignty, of course. But just as you and I don't have any say-so on when we were born, you and I have no say-so on when we will draw our last. Isaiah told Hezekiah this very thing, that God has not only ordained the day that you live, you are here, Hezekiah, by God's appointment, but you are going to leave by God's appointment as well. He has not only ordained the time you are going, but He's also ordained the means by which you will be going. At least that's what it looks like at this particular juncture. God has allowed a disease to come upon Hezekiah, and Hezekiah knows that he's about to draw his last. And so the Lord now is pressing upon Hezekiah this idea that even your life is in the very control of your supreme God. He is Lord over it all. Now, what should you and I do when we get sick? Well, in our modern time, we realize that God has blessed us with helps when we get sick. The Lord has been good to us, especially here in our country, to bless us with those who are skilled and trained to minister to the body. Not everybody has this ability. God has given some people the ability to be physicians of the body. And we thank the Lord for them. Now, there are some people who object to going to a doctor, but we're not going to talk about those people right now. We're just going to recognize that God has given us good people who are gifted, who are skilled, in order to treat us when we get sick. The Lord has also blessed people who are smart and skilled and who have the ability to find medicine that can help us in our time of need. You and I should not hesitate to consult a doctor or to use medicine that has been proven to be helpful. Not jabs that were created to control people, but medicine that is proven to be helpful. Those are good things that you and I should participate in. So yes, you should go to the doctor when you get sick, if you're that feeling that bad. If you're not feeling that bad, you can stay at home and tough it out and hope that your immune system builds up because of it and they become better on the other end of it as well. That's certainly one thing you should do. But friend, don't ever forget this. When you get sick, before you call the doctor, before you make the appointment, you should pray to the great physician. Amen? Our God is supreme over sickness. He is Lord over it. Nothing happens in the world and realm of sickness unless it first goes through God's will, especially for His children. Now, there are various reasons for sickness we find in the Bible. One, as we've already seen, is that's the way we die. It's not the preferred way that we would like to die, but it's one of the ways that God uses to bring about the death of His saints. Jason and I were talking last week, I think, and Jason's brother-in-law, Sam, was 82 years old, out mowing the yard, came in from mowing the yard, sat down in his favorite chair, and died. Passed away. I told Jason, that's the way I want to go if I have a preference, but I don't have a preference. I mean, I don't have any say-so in it, but I do have a preference. And Jason agreed. Why? Well, because we've seen too many people die sickly. It's just terrible. And so, but God is the Lord over that. He's the Lord over sickness. He's the one that determines whether we have a lengthy sickness or the one that we have a quick drawing of our breath and we're in His presence. And He does this all for our good and for His glory. We don't know the ins and outs. We don't know the whys as to why God will allow something like a sickness to come into our life. But we do know this, that whatever happens to us is for good and for His glory. Amen? Do not take your eyes off that truth when you experience sickness. So the reasons for sickness, obviously, are number one, death. Number two, the Lord has used sickness in the Bible as a form of chastisement, discipline for His children. So if you get out of the will of God and you stiffen your neck and you become recalcitrant and you bow your back and you say, nope, I am not going to live for God. I am not going to obey Him. Don't be surprised that God brings a sickness into your life to humble you and to break your stubbornness and to bend your stiff back and to bring you into submission to God's will. Don't be surprised at that. Another reason that God gives a sickness is to test. Test your faith. See who you're trusting in and who you're not trusting in. And another reason for sickness we find in the Bible is so that He may heal it miraculously and receive maximum glory for it. You remember the man that was born blind there in John's Gospel? He had learned to navigate his way around. He would stumble over this and stumble over that. And people in the city knew him as the blind man. Well, Jesus came to visit the blind man one day and healed him miraculously. He didn't tell him much about who he was. He just told him to do this, spit on the ground, make some mud, and then go wash your eyes and you'll have your sight. And sure enough, the blind man could see. And he couldn't believe it. So he starts walking down the city that he grew up in, not bumping into anything, not tripping, not falling. He stops and talks to people and has conversations with them. And they realize this blind man can see. So they begin to ask him, how is it that you have your sight? Who is it that healed you from this blindness? He says, all I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see because Jesus told me so. God got the glory for it. He got the glory for it. The Lord is supreme over life, death, sickness, and even health. But the second thing that we're thinking about this morning that the Lord is supreme over is found also in verse 3 and 4. And that is, the Lord is over when we die. Now, He's already announced to Hezekiah, you're going to die, so get your life in order. Hezekiah then prays to the Lord, and the Lord hears his prayer. Now, we're not told that in Hezekiah's prayer that he prayed that he would be able to live for another 15 years. We don't know where the 15 years came from. Maybe Hezekiah requested that. We don't know. But God answered that prayer, told him through the prophet Isaiah, that I have heard your prayer and I will extend your years, your days, 15 years in verse 5. So does that mean that God changed His plan? Was His original plan for Hezekiah to die through this boils and then God had to change His plan because Hezekiah prayed and asked God for mercy and now it's 15 years longer? No, it means that all of that was included in God's plan in the first place. This is how it had to be worked out. It was announced that Hezekiah would die so that Hezekiah would go to God in prayer, asking Him for grace and mercy, so that God would answer that prayer, so that God would be glorified for being the Lord over sickness and death and being gracious and given 15 more years of life. Hallelujah. The Lord is supreme over sickness. The Lord is supreme over death, even when we think we're going to die and don't, and God extends our life, then we certainly should give Him glory, honor, and praise. Now, if God did this for Hezekiah, why won't He do that for everyone? Let's say you get the news this week. Your heart is not good. You've been discovered that it's been damaged and it's weak. And the doctor estimates you've only got 2 years to live unless you have a transplant. Is it possible for God to extend your years to 20 years? Well, of course it is. We see that He has done that for others here in the text. Well, then why would God not do that for everyone when they pray and ask for it? I gave this question to some 7th and 8th grade students this week at Coram Deo as we were talking about the Lord being sovereign over sickness and over death, especially and over evil and wicked men. And so the question was posed, how can God, who is all love, all power, all present, how can He allow evil men to do what they do? I mean, if you were God and you had all the power and all the love and you were all present and you had all this figured out, wouldn't you stop the evil men from doing bad things? Or if you had the power as a father to protect your children from all wickedness and all evil men, wouldn't you do that for your children? Well, naturally, we think we would. But since God is wiser than us, and God has predestined all this stuff to work out for our good and for His glory, God has even figured out a way to allow wicked men to persecute His own children and use that in such a way that His children become better and God gets more glory than He would have had not the evil men been there in the first place. That's how supreme God is over all these things. You can't outsmart Him. You can't outthink Him. You can't outguess Him. You can't outmaneuver Him. You certainly can't outwrestle Him. God is supreme over every single thing. So friend, what is it that's in your life right now that is causing you to doubt? What is it that is causing you trouble? What is it that is causing you heartache? Whatever it is, your Father is supreme over it. Your Father has ordained this to happen in your life for your good and for His glory. And don't doubt for one second that He is not in charge. He is on His throne. He never vacates it. He never takes a vacation. He never takes a nap. He is constantly aware that His plan is being carried out to perfection, and you should not doubt Him. And here's the proof of it. God is Lord and supreme over sickness. God is Lord and supreme over health and life and death. God is supreme even over doing the impossible, the unimaginable of extending our life when it looks like all things are going against us. But the third thing that God is supreme over is time. Have you ever wished that you could go back in time and change something? I wish I could go back in time and not say what I said. I wish I could go back in time and not do what I did. Or I wish I could go back in time and do something I didn't do. I wish I could go back and live a better life. But then that wish is squashed because we realize we can't go back in time. Time is Lord over us. Time is something that we cannot control. Time is something that controls us until we read Isaiah 38 along with Joshua chapter 10 as well. In these two instances, in Joshua chapter 10, God was asked to make the sun stand still for one day so that they could finish cleaning up the wicked men, finish the battle to destroy these wicked men who were oppressing them. And God did it. The sun stood still. Now we know it's still, but time stood still for one day in Joshua chapter 10. The same thing is true here in this text. God said to Hezekiah, I'm going to give you 15 more years, and here's the sign of it. Here's the proof of it. I'm going to cause the sundial that your father Ahaz built, I'm going to cause that sundial to go back 10 degrees. Now, no one knows the exact amount of time those 10 degrees represent. Some guess it's between an hour and 3 hours. Some guess anywhere from 8 to 10 hours. We don't know. Don't get lost in the weeds over trying to figure out how much time. But just remember this. God pushed time back 10 degrees. Now, how can God push time back? Well, because He's the Supreme One. He made time. Did you know there was no such thing as time as we know it in eternity past? There is a time when time started. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there will be a time where time will end when Christ comes back to settle the score of wickedness and evil men and bring His church into His divine presence. Time as we know it will stop. Eternity past is there. Eternity future is there. We live in this thing called time. So if God made time, it's no problem for Him to manipulate time, then, is it? I mean, if He's got the power to make it, He has the power to change it for His good and for His glory. Now think about the discussions around the steps at the house of Ahaz when those who were watching the dial saw it start to move backwards. They rubbed their eyes a little bit and they checked their vision and they said, did you see that? Yeah, I think I did. And then they looked again and it was still moving backwards and moving backwards. And they're trying to figure out what in the world is happening here. What is taking place? How can time go back? There's no other explanation for it except that the sovereign Lord, the one who is supreme, did this in order to prove to Hezekiah that what I have done to extend your 15 years, you can count on it. So did Hezekiah think he was going to die that day? He shouldn't have, because he was just told by the Supreme Lord, you've got 15 more years. And then your life will end. And here's a sign. The sundial is going to go back 10 degrees. Now friend, this is the Lord of the Bible. He is the Supreme One. There is no one, there is nothing that can stop His will. There is no one or nothing that can stop His plan. He never has to sweat it out. He never has to second guess Himself. He never has to go to plan B because one doesn't exist. He never has to change His mind. He never has to adjust to the situation. Our God is supreme over every single thing. Now, on the one hand, that should give you great comfort, knowing that everything in your life is under the supreme rule of your great God and Father. it should give you comfort. It should encourage you to draw near to Him. It should encourage you to pray to Him, thanking Him that He is the Supreme One and asking for help in your time of need. But on the other hand, it is a frightening thought for those who are not saved. So those of you here this morning who are not Christians, you have not repented of your sins, you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign Lord, the supreme Lord, is the Lord that you will have to deal with if you die in your sins. And you can rest assured that when you stand before this sovereign Lord, still in your sins, that He's going to treat you right. He's going to give you exactly what you've got coming to you. He's not going to pull any punches. He's going to treat you just as right as He can. And what He will give you is an eternity in hell, because that's what's right for those who die in their sins. Yes, He's even supreme over that, over eternal destinies. Now, the great news is this. You don't have to spend eternity in hell. You don't have to be punished for your sins, because Jesus has been punished for you in your place. Amen? And if you will repent of your sins and believe in Jesus, then you too can spend eternity with Him in heaven. Well, I hope this passage has been an encouragement to you this morning. The Lord only knows what you all are going through individually. I have no way of knowing that. So I don't craft my sermons around what I know about the congregation. I just believe that the Lord leads me to a passage of Scripture to preach. And then the truth of that passage is divided by the Holy Spirit as I speak. And the Holy Ghost then applies that to each individual heart. And I hope and pray that He has done that this morning, and that you will find encouragement in the Lord, those of you who are saved. Because whatever it is that's going on in your life right now, God is supreme over it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we praise You for testifying in the Bible over and over and over again that You are the Lord. You are the sovereign. You are the supreme one. There is nothing and no one that we can compare You to. You are perfect. You are holy. You are righteous. You are awesome. All of those things roll up into one. And what makes it even sweeter is that You, Lord, are our Father. You've saved us from our sins. You've rescued us from Your wrath through Your Son. You've adopted us into Your family, and now we're Your children, and You are our Father. So You being supreme even makes our relationship with You even more sweeter. We're so thankful that You are the great Lord, that You're our Father. So help us to come to You in our time of need, whatever it might be. Help us to come to You in prayer, to lay it out before You, and to plead our case, trusting that You, our Father, will do exactly what You need to do for our good and for Your glory. And then give us faith to trust in You for that. And You have given us proof, You have given us testimony when You do these things that You will do them, and that is Your Bible. This inspired and inerrant Word of God, full of promises from You, is a more sure sign than that sundial of Ahaz. So we pray that our faith would rest in Your Word and in Your Word alone. And we pray again for those among us who are still lost. We pray that You would save them. Draw them to Christ, Lord, is our prayer, so that they might come to know You as their Father, who is Lord and supreme of all. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.